Welcome back to Season 5 of The Rock Movers, the podcast for empowered women who are navigating life's biggest transitions, challenges, and moving life's biggest rocks. I'm your host, Karen Gray, and I can't wait for us to get started with today's guest and episode. Are you ready? Let's move some rocks. Welcome back, Rock Movers. Today, I don't even know where to begin to tell you what to expect, because expect the unexpected. That's what I'm going to say. Because today you get to meet someone that has been behind the scenes of my life. You haven't probably seen her a whole lot, but she is the amazing Bunny Young. She is a founder of multiple businesses, former stunt actor, former... I don't know, what all have you done? It's hard to list everything, but she's also just a coach, a mentor, a friend, a sister, Tinkerbell and a unicorn all wrapped up in one beautiful, amazing, brilliant package. Bunny, thank you for honoring me and just being here with us. And I seriously have no idea where this is going to go, because your story is so flipping amazing.
I am so excited to be here. And I appreciate you having me on and holding the space and just all of the things that you do for your community. Yeah. So thank you.
It is definitely my honor. So we circled each other's world, but I was introduced and suggested to meet you by a mutual friend, Jessica Locke. You were in a group with her in another mastermind group. And I think it was Alicia Nobriga's group. And the first time she's like, you have to meet this lady. And I saw your blue hair and I was like, that is not for me. Like, I am like the most basic, like just normal conservative Republican Texan that you will meet.
And you're not normal. You're not basic. Okay. But continue.
And I saw these pictures of her and I'm like, there's no way. And then I met her and I was like, oh my God, she's like brilliant. And then the more I was around her, the more I was just like, oh my gosh, I need just her wisdom, like just simple, no nonsense, common sense thinking. Like, this just makes so much sense. So the more I got to hear your story, though, behind the scenes, and the more I got to know you as a human and a mom and a woman, I am just so in awe of who you are, how you show up, the things that you've conquered and overcome, the rocks that you've moved, going back to our podcast, The Rock Mover, and how you help others, including me, move our rocks. And so today I really want to turn the mic over to you, because this is an unusual, very blessing, big blessing for me to get to share this mic with you and allow you to have a story or an opportunity to share your story and just what's on your heart, because you have made some major changes, gone through some big things, and just come back from a birthday trip from Hawaii. So
yeah.
I would love, let's just start with your, like just a glimmer of your biggest rock that you've overcome that you feel like really was the tipping point for the big changes that you made in your life.
I'm like so inclined to admit I'm my biggest rock.
Well, aren't we all, first off?
Yeah, I just like, when you ask that, I'm like, my biggest rock is sitting right here in front of this microphone. And I'm still moving her.
Yeah. And So if you've been listening to me lately, you know that my vernacular has changed and I say yes and a lot. That is completely and totally the influence of this beautiful woman on the other side, because she has a yes and podcast when she coaches. It's never a but I can't, or it's always a yes and so that is definitely her influence. I would love to say it's her fault, but it is not her fault. It is definitely her influence.
it's your choice.
In a very good way.
It's your choice.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my life. My life has been very much a yes and reframe, because I feel like what I used to see as a ton of rocks and a ton of blocks in my life, have actually just, I've used them to either build stronger foundations for things in my life. And I've also had this image, going back to the image we were talking about at the retreat, of like this river. And water doesn't go up to a rock and like, please move. Water just goes around the rock. And actually over time, water wears the rock away. And so I think that my biggest rock in my life has really been me. And rather than seeing myself as the rock or as the block, it's been seeing myself as the water that gets to choose. And, you know, there's so many aspects of my life, from being diagnosed with my first heart condition, then my second heart condition, then the car accident that I got a brain injury in, to having, you know, I think we have 10 miscarriages at this point over the past 14 years. And it's just kind of been crazy to sit back and really take inventory of my life. And then also to have reflected in the same breath, you say you just got back from, you know, a week in Hawaii and sitting in my dream house in California now, that's happened in the past year. And we were talking about the fact that I just took off for Disneyland yesterday. Like, I say those things to you, and there's a part of me that's like, who the F are you?
I don't know the former version of you. So this version is the only one I know. And I can't see you another way. So it's so funny because you know all the versions of you.
Yeah.
But for someone that only knows this part of you, it's hard for me to even conceptualize you not being this way.
Yeah. You know, that's an interesting concept, because in true yes and fashion, I think I always have been this way. I just have not used my superpower for me.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about when, you know, so in high school, my best friend was killed by a drunk driver my senior year. And I declined going on our Europe trip. Like a group of my friends had this senior trip that we had planned to go to Europe and get wasted and all of this stuff. And it just didn't feel aligned after this happened to Ryan. And so I decided that I was going to go down to Ecuador and volunteer in an orphanage by myself. Knew no one in Ecuador, just found like a volunteer organization. They picked me up at the airport, which is funny because they weren't actually there to pick me up at the airport when I landed. So I called my parents from a payphone, because those things still existed, and said, yeah, I landed in Ecuador, but there's no one here. It's like
pure panic. I can imagine.
Oh,
your mom.
My mom was. Yeah. My dad got all of his shots to make sure that like, he could go down and rescue me in the event that I needed to be rescued. It was an eye opening trip, though. And I came home, and that really changed the trajectory of my college career, because I came home wanting to be an international civil rights attorney to help protect these children and these families that were having their land taken away from them from oil companies that shall remain nameless, especially because we're on a Texans podcast. You know, and there was injustice in the world, and I wanted to correct it, and I wanted to correct it to correct this feeling that I had inside me, this emptiness that I had inside me from having my best friend being taken away from me. This was all like stories in my head. However, while I'm sharing all of this is like, I remember going forward from that, working in social services, working in a program called CASA, and realizing that We had so many kids here who needed help. And so I took on a caseload of about 83 kids, and you're supposed to spend 1 hour a week with each kiddo in CPS, in social services. And my husband ended up making me quit that job because all I could see was how I could help more, how I could mm-hmm. give more. And it didn't matter if there wasn't enough time in the week. It didn't matter if there were enough resources. I'd find grants. I'd find donors. I'd find different resources and programs in the community. And so it was always about finding ways to make it work. And that's exactly what I'm doing now with my own life. And I'm doing it for me. And I think turning my superpower for my good when I was younger felt selfish. And it felt like I didn't have permission to do it. And I remember starting my very first company, which was a swimming company that there were tons of swimming like lesson services in Tucson, Arizona, mm-hmm. as you can imagine. That's where I went to my undergraduate. And so there was nobody going to people's houses, though, and teaching kiddos how to swim in the comfort and safety of their own home. And so these kiddos would come to like a gym pool or an Olympic sized pool and learn how to swim. And there's lanes on the ground and all this. And then they go back to like their residential designed pools. And it was very unfamiliar to them. So that was the first company that I started, was like, I saw the need and I'm like, oh, I can help with that.
Yeah.
And my mom's like, that's a company. No, I'm not. The only thing I never want to be in my life is an entrepreneur, because my parents were, my grandfather was. And I was like, no, that's for the birds. So I'm like, this is just a thing I'm doing on the side. And then when school, I had like more families that wanted help. And I had school. So I hired my friends and I taught them how to do it. My mom's like, now you have employees. I'm like, no, like I just hired people because I couldn't do it myself. I had to go to school. So, you know, I just did this. And this, so when you reflect that back to me, like this mindset's always been like, well, let's just figure it out. Like, yeah. Oh, you want to move back to California? Like, let's just figure it out. Like we were talking about yesterday, mm-hmm. the whole reason that I went to Disneyland is because I wanted to get in my 10,000 steps. And I just came back from Hawaii with getting like 10, 14, 20,000 steps per day. I'm like, well, I don't yet have a house on the beach yet in California. And so I know that I love walking around on the beach. So where else do I like to walk? I'm like, oh, every time I go to California, I get 20,000 steps, 15,000 steps. So it made sense to me yesterday to put my baby in the car and go walk around California or walk around Disneyland. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like always just this energy and this essence of like, oh, life is happening for me. How can I move with life rather than accepting the reality as it is? Because I don't really think reality is what we think it is. I think it's what we make it, and I think it's what we choose. So we popped on earlier, what you were sharing with me about like canceled appointments. Yeah. First off, I think entrepreneurship is the only job that I've ever had where when people cancel on me, I'm like, yes,
got my time back.
I got my time. I've got time to do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And I also feel like, it's just feedback. It's all data. It's all feedback. So unless you're moving, unless you are working with the flow of life, you mm-hmm. can't really get that feedback. And so for what you shared with me where, you know, and this is for anybody listening, as far as if you're an entrepreneur, when somebody asks what your services are and you do that, you know, two-step where you're like, oh, well, I want to hear more about you, which is a great idea in to build that rapport, to build the value before really sharing. And in all honesty, you don't really know what the investment's going to be until you know what the product or service is going to be.
Right. What the need is.
Yeah, exactly. And so it gives them a chance to be heard and build rapport. And so I completely agree with that. But when they wear you down and you do share that investment to be a part of your world.
I love that you recognize when they wear you down.
Exactly.
When you give in.
You know, I have a three ask rule, because I feel like after, if the person has now asked three times, this uh-huh. is them showing you their anxiety. And in order to show up in the call in a place where they can feel supported and calm,
uh-huh.
this is them showing you their anxiety. And so I'll meet them after the third time. And, you know, like for context, when somebody DMs me and they've never had an individual coach before, let alone like a business coach, or I'm a life and business coach that's a retired therapist, I'm not somebody that, you know, is $100 an hour. And so when somebody shows up in my DMs and they're like, well, I've never had a coach before, I want them to know kind of what that container might look like so that they don't have sticker shock. And they also have the context to know what the container that they're stepping into. So like for reference, you know, working with me in a 12-month container is $60,000 investment. And you're like, well, that's a car. Well, think about it. If people are investing $60,000 a year to work with me, think about what their ROIs are versus working with, you know, coach or somebody that you're investing $100 an hour for 100, you know, for 60 minutes of their time.
Yeah.
What's the investment there? Right. And so that's what
I mean, a Yugo's a car and a Mercedes a car. A Yugo's a car and a Bugatti's a car. Like there's.
Yeah. And I've come a long way since working with social services and having 83 kids a week. I mean, I'm working less than typically 10 hours a week, and I'm working with two individual clients in a 12-month period. It's about to go up to 4 just because the baby's now 10 months old and I have a little bit more capacity. But think about being, other than myself and my kids and my family, being in one of those top 4 spots that you have me in your pocket for a year on your business and your life and supporting you. And you have my 19, well, now 20 years of business and 16 companies that I've owned and sold and done whatever with. Like that kind of support's not $100 an hour. Like to your point, like that's
right.
I mean, that's like Bentley level, you know? And that's not because I'm a narcissist, but that's because I value my time and my energy so much that my energy and my time and my services, my wisdom, my knowledge is so curated at this point that you shouldn't need like 61 hour sessions with me. You shouldn't need all of those $100 hour sessions in order to get those results. And so I love for you that you shared what the investment was to step into your world and your community, because you're so valuable as well and you're so special, and all of the space that you hold for, you know, specifically the women that I've seen you speak for and hold for. And I love that you shared your investment, because that means that that woman got to see another woman hold her value at that level and not scramble to discount herself and not negotiate, but held her value. And it was probably so inspiring for that woman. And whether or not she's ready to either make that investment today or just sit with that inspiration and hold that as something to dream about working towards. Like, it's so special to me when I've got entrepreneurs that will message me and be like, I am ready to invest. I've saved, I'm ready to invest in this package. And, you know, thank you for waiting for me. And to me, that's just so incredible. And when I used to do corporate executive coaching, I mean, those packages are $120,000, $150,000, $180,000 for a year to work with an executive. That doesn't mean a fraction of what it means to have an entrepreneur come to me and say, I want you to hold this container for me to transform my life and my business and have my business work for me. And so I love what happened for you today in the aspect of the feedback that it gives you about your value and about your messaging, and that you inspired somebody.
This is why she's the queen of the reframe, y'all. Oh, because what I heard was no. And that sucks. And, you know, so this is the power of the reframe. And yes, and I appreciate you holding the mirror up for that, because I do feel like I compromise so much so often, and just a reminder that, you know, there's so much for others when we don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about us. And sometimes when we're trying to help, we're actually doing disservice. So,
yeah,
thank you for that reminder. So I came to California, and so I, for those that are listening, I live in Texas, and I came to California to Bunny's house for this retreat that you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
and just had no idea what to expect, had no idea really, I mean, basic stuff to expect. Again, I am, other than your mom being in the house, I was the oldest one in the group, and felt so, and this is my story coming in, right? Felt so out of place, and left feeling like I was just so covered up and filled up and loved up, and you just created this amazing container. I don't know how else to describe it, but it was like this little pool that we all got to just dive into that was safe, and we could be vulnerable. We could be, wear our wounds on the outside without having to hide them. And there were moments, and I still have my little jar, and just little things that you did that just absolutely transformed, I feel like my DNA in pieces. How did you come to this place where you could just be that for women that are so diverse? Because although we have some similar threads, every single woman that was in that retreat came from such a different place. And yes, we all know that, you know, when it came down to it, there was a commonality,
mm-hmm.
but we all came at it from these different roads.
Yeah. This is such a great question. So my background is in equine therapy, and I started.
Mm-hmm. Can you get a little closer? Cause it's a little quiet.
I started doing equine, my background's in equine therapy, and I started doing equine retreats.
Right.
And it was my favorite thing that we do. It's still my favorite thing that we do. And they were called, and they're called power retreats. And so the interesting thing there is that no matter how much planning, and I told you guys this at the retreat, no matter how much planning
uh-huh.
I did, the right people were there and the right exercises were obvious. And so for me, it's more about holding the energy than it is about knowing what to do.
Mm.
And I think that, unfortunately, these days, a safe space for transformation is rare, uh-huh. like a truly safe space. And when you are in your authentic energy, you become magnetic to people that are also desiring or in that frequency. So last Friday, I turned 37. And in 37 years, I've had 16 companies. And I've also started my first company when I was 17. So I've been in business for 20 years. And so I think that we use labels to keep ourselves small for the most part, or to find familiarity or find comfort. And I think I shared this with you that I paid somebody $6,000 to try to figure out what to put on my business card when I first really stepped into ownership. Do you remember what I put on that business card?
I think it was just like coach, or like it was something really simple.
My name.
That's right. Your name.
My name. That was it. There was no title. And I remember that as a lesson, being like, remember, we are the rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I remember that as being like, oh, yeah. Labels are just labels. They are just things that we have in our language to help us feel more comfortable. And so you coming into that retreat, my sense is that your ego knew some powerful stuff was about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so your ego pointed out, oh, well, let's find the differences. Let's find why you are the one person who will come to this retreat and not get anything.
Yeah.
Let's find the disqualifiers to protect this new, which, you know, ego says is unsafe. Unsafe is not the same as unfamiliar. And so that's the story. But age is, you know, people say like age is just a number. I think that I have a different relationship specifically with age in life because of my heart condition. So it's not like I ever thought about, oh, when I get old, I'll retire. I'm like, bro, like I need to, I'm from California. So we say bro and dude. But like we, that's not assumed that I have tomorrow. And so whether I'm 26 building a multi-million dollar company or whether I'm 48 building a multi-million dollar company, like that doesn't matter. I want to do the things I want to do. And I'm not going to do all of them right now, but I'm going to take each one as it's most inspired to me. And so it's interesting to hear your experience of the retreat because you saw the notes that I took on my like little clipboard and how many times I wrote over all of my notes. Everything that I planned, almost everything that I planned, I threw out the door. And that's really a reflection of you, Karen, and a reflection of the individuals and the women that were there on the power of that retreat and what happens when we let those stories go and when we let ourselves be in that energy.
Do you feel like you are able to do that because you're able to tap in and listen and those that aren't are so curated that they can't or they won't, they choose not to allow that flow for fear or where is the differentiator there? Because I've been in events that are very scheduled, very rigid, and then those that have a plan and we can come back to that plan, yet there's flexibility and freedom, which is what you did. You had a really lined out plan. And then you would come back around and be like, okay, that's gone. We're going to do this.
As a coach and a facilitator, and I think even as just, you know, a powerful healer, spiritual being, your responsibility is to hold a framework. But your responsibility is not to fill that. So it's like you hold the container and you allow your community and whatever. And same thing when I was a therapist. Like I'm holding these 50 minutes. You get to fill them with what you need. And I'm here to collaborate with you in that space. But I'm not here to dictate what happens in between 3 o'clock and 3:50. You guys flew in from all over the country and made time for this and made time for yourself. And that automatically qualifies you for a transformational experience. And anybody who's been to a conference knows that. So I think that you are responsible as the facilitator and as the coach for not overscheduling the magic and for not making sure and for making sure that you are using your intuition. And my intuition is super, super high at this point in my life. And that's because I've turned down the volume of all the noise.
I think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah. And I trust myself and I trust my herd of unicorns that hangs out with me. You know, like we're going to Costa Rica in the first week of January. That entire retreat was facilitated and planned by the people who went to Hawaii for the beach retreat that I facilitated last year. And I know you heard me share the story that like literally the morning of the first day of the retreat and 2 days before we did that retreat, I text my team and was like, we are not effing doing this next year. I didn't say effing. I said the word. And by the second day of the retreat, the people that were there had already sucked me into the magic. They had picked out the next year's location and were literally messaging in the group chat houses that they wanted to stay at. And so when you are in deep trust with yourself and alignment with your gifts, you can work with the universe, world, God, whatever your belief system is, to co-create magic in this world. And magic doesn't come from a knowing. It comes from a being and a deep sense of like feltness. And so I know that Costa Rica is going to be magic. And I know that every single person that signed up is meant to be there. And I know that every single person that wants to be there, like from a deeper desire, is going to find a way there. And in doing this, as long as I've done it, whether it's with the equine retreats or beach retreats, or, you know, this was the Nourish retreat that Karen was talking about at my house, even setting that up, Karen, that's the first retreat I did that had nothing to do with business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the first retreat that I did that was just 2 days. We just did 2 days. It was baby. And we just stepped into it and just trusted that it was going to be magic.
It felt magic. It felt exquisite. Mm-hmm. Bunny had this lady come in and prepare this dinner and lunch. And
are you going to talk about eating rose petals?
I am, because that was my favorite thing, that and the massage. She made homemade ice cream mm-hmm. with rose petals in them. And what was the, pistachios.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, and saffron.
And saffron. And she, like, did something with the rose petals, and they were, like, sugar. Like, I don't know what that was. It was crack. It was literally crack. It was so amazing.
But think about that for a second. The power wasn't mm-hmm. in me dictating what was going to be on the menu. We discussed what was going to be on the menu from the vision of this being nourishing and this being decadent. You know, like I held this really powerful vision. So the reason there was saffron, the reason that there's rose petals, is because those are incredibly luxurious and decadent and rare
uh-huh.
ingredients. And it's unusual, and yet it's also like goddess level is what we were looking for. And so you get that with your life. So this goes back to that triangle that we talked about at the Defy retreat.
Uh-huh.
Like if you look at the two meetings that you had today and you run that through your identity and you run that through your vision, tell me how that didn't happen for you. Like, what's the story that you're telling yourself now?
Yeah, that flips it on its head. So, I mean, there's so many different ways I could come at it, but in part, I would say there's an opportunity for me to honor me.
Mm-hmm.
There's also an investing in my energy, my future, their energy, their future,
mm-hmm.
and holding space to say it's okay to be the light. It's okay to not be the discount mm-hmm. store. It's okay to be valuable.
Yeah.
And with valuable commodities or people or services come a price tag.
Yeah.
And so it's an exchange of energy and money. And in the past, it has always been that money wasn't safe, because I grew up with parents that were raised in depression times. They were older parents. And so money was always scarce.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, that energy around money has just seeped into every soul, every DNA, every DNA of my soul. It's a complete reprogramming, and man, that programming's really deep, really, really strong.
Until now. Right?
I think also the thing that I get to see is the protection for those who are not supposed to be in my world, in my communities, in my groups, because they're not ready.
Yeah.
So there, I also get to choose to see it that way too.
Yeah.
You know, what incredible, mm-hmm. like what a gift. And this expectation that you're to convert 100%.
You mean people don't? Okay, that was sarcasm, but
I don't think you want to convert 100%.
100% of the right people, not 100% of everybody you talk to.
think about that. If you do convert 100%, even of the right people, where's the lesson? Where's the opportunity? Where's the growth? If I didn't strike out, I played softball for 16 years. If I didn't strike out, where would the growth have been? I guess I played softball for 14.
And you played volleyball too, right? Or just softball?
I actually went to a D1 college for volleyball, but that's like a longer story. I'm 6'3", so I played softball for 14 years. I was offered a scholarship to two D2 colleges. And I chose to go to a D1 college on a volleyball scholarship because the softball program, the coach was the coach for the U.S. Olympic team. So I chose to go to that college and play volleyball because it was an opportunity to actually practice and play and participate with the Olympic coach for softball. However, I just never felt like passionate about volleyball. I just felt like I was able to play it because the high school coach saw how tall I was and was like, just stand up at the net and hold your hands up. And like, we won't teach you how to play volleyball. Like, to this day, I don't know rotations or any of that. Like, I don't. There's just so many lessons that we could go into deeper there. However, if you don't strike out, you don't learn. And so I think that the only thing that tells us that it didn't work out is our minds, because everything's always working out for us.
Right.
Even when somebody says no, like, I'm so grateful and so curious. And I don't necessarily, in the calls that I'm talking to people, I don't get no's. I get objections based on finances, information, and trust. So what an objection sounds like is not a no. An objection sounds like, I want to work with you, but I'm scared that I won't be able to afford it. I'm scared that I won't get results. I'm scared that I'll sign up and not hold myself accountable. And that's an opportunity for coaching. And so really what somebody is saying when they cancel a meeting with you is, I'm scared. And they're asking for coaching, which is ironic.
That they're saying no to coaching because they're asking. Yeah. Or they're asking for coaching by saying no to coaching.
And so they're not, they may not be aware of this, but that's the opportunity to follow up with a resource. So if talking to you is too scary, then what's a resource that's in between? You know, sending them one of your podcasts, sending them a video note, like a Loom or a voice note that says, hey, Erica, I was really looking forward to talking with you today. And I know that you had canceled after I shared what the investment was. And I just wanted you to know, I understand coaching looks a lot different than some other investment structures. And so I wanted to just let you know that I see you and I'm here in full support. And if it's okay with you, I'd love for you, I'd love to either still hold space for you or send you a resource that I created around creating wealth. How do you feel after that?
Yeah, that's so good. That's so next level. Just truly serving too.
Yes.
From an authentic place, which is, I feel like the difference of how you operate versus some experiences in the past. Because above all things, you have treated me with such love, respect, and kindness for every place I've been in. And you even told me one day that you coach me differently, which is something I feel because I feel so seen, because I feel like I function differently. And I learn differently. So we have some neurodivergent people in the group, and I'm like, I'm not neurodivergent. I'm pretty sure I'm neurodivergent.
I'm 100% neurodivergent with this brain injury. Like, need you to slow it down because I didn't necessarily hear the words coming out of your mouth.
I think I just, I have to like absorb things with all of my senses to really get them. Like, I have to see it, say it, do it, feel it, hear it, all the things.
I want to coach and I want to hold space in a real way, in an authentic mm-hmm. way. And I think back to actually one of the gifts that you've given me is when you and I first had our conversation about working together this year and me coaching mm-hmm. you was last November. So it's almost been a year. And my mom was having shoulder surgery. Mm-hmm. And
you're at the hospital or the doctor?
Yeah. Hospitals have not been my favorite. You know, as you can imagine, getting diagnosed with a heart condition and spending a lot of my teenage years in a hospital. And so, Karen, you and I were talking, and I looked at my calendar, and I'm like, well, I'm literally going to be sitting in a surgery waiting room for like 6 hours. Uh-huh. So let's chat then. And you had such concern for my mom and such concern for me and where I was. And I'm like, look, I have my headphones in, like, you know, and this isn't a sales call. What I want mm-hmm. to know is I want to know about you, and I want you to know that no matter where I am in the world, mm-hmm. that I'm holding sacred space for what your goals are.
Yeah. And so you're making me cry again. Damn it.
It's like kind of like the Marilyn Monroe moment. Like if you're not willing to hang with me mm-hmm. and don't feel like I am coaching you powerfully from a surgery waiting room, and I can't show up for you in a surgery waiting room. Like, my mom was having a shoulder surgery. If she was having a heart surgery, it probably would be in a different space. And you also got to shift the dynamic for me of sitting in a hospital serving. Mm. And you don't even know this, but I'm going to tell you this in a second.
No, I didn't.
But so sitting in a hospital room or sitting in a hospital waiting room serving and having this incredible conversation, and then getting off the conversation, you and I got off the conversation, and there was somebody sitting across the room from me and said, I don't know what you were just doing. I couldn't hear you, but your energy, I want to know more about what it is that you are doing and what you do. And that came from us, Karen. That came from a conversation with you, an exchange of energy with you. So not only did you that space that we held, like, heal that pattern around hospitals, mm-hmm. but also like just the energy exchange between us magnetize other individuals. And so, you know, what we talked about was the permission right. to be you, permission to get out of your way, permission to get unstuck and unfucked,
mm-hmm. And be seen.
Yeah. The safety to be seen, mm-hmm. but the safety mm-hmm. and the safety really to see yourself.
Yeah.
Because I think that so many times we look in the mirror and we get lost in age, title, mother, daughter, wife, and our evaluation of how we're doing on all of those things. And so when's the last time you've looked in the mirror and seen you?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a gift. It also caused me to really look at what were the things that were triggering me. Mm. And it was the people who were doing the things I wanted to do, but mm-hmm. thought I couldn't. Mm-hmm. And so I made a decision after speaking with you and signing up to work with you for that year through Defy. And you were getting ready to have a baby and mm-hmm. all the things that were going on at the time. It was like I made the commitment and then had to sit with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it was just petrifying.
Yeah.
Because I had, not that you weren't available, because you were in the middle of having a baby. But
we had a baby together.
I'm sure I was there. Little Malibu. Little Jack-Jack. He looks like baby Jack-Jack from the mm-hmm. Incredibles. But I made this decision that I was going to lean into those women
mm-hmm.
and get around them and step into those spaces. And my word for the year was proximity.
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than leaning out, I was going to lean in and get closer.
Mm-hmm.
And that created this spiral of getting around these women, having great conversations, and changed my conference, where so many of these women came to my conference this year. I had 18 of them, and got to know behind the scenes and behind the facade of what I thought they were. Mm-hmm. And they're all just amazing humans trying mm-hmm. to do life just at different places and different steps. And none of them had anything but kindness and love and support for me. I mean, it was just the most incredible thing. These women who I thought were so much better than me. Like there was so much separation between where I was and where they were, have now linked arms with me. And mm-hmm. so just that shift for my year, and I don't know, I don't think we've had a chance to really talk about all that, but that was a huge rock that you helped me move, is to see by you being human, it allowed me to see them as human.
Yeah.
And to just embrace the conversations when you defined it as an edge, right? When I feel that edge of this is really sticky, this is really uncomfortable, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's a place I need to lean in more. Get curious. Yeah. Why is that an edge? Why is this uncomfortable? What is it I'm really making this mean? And I just feel like it's changed everything for me this year. Obviously, still more things I'm working on, but you have just been so instrumental. So for those that have seen me before Bunny, pre-Bunny, there's a PB Karen and a post-Bunny Karen, or a with Bunny Karen, WBK. That whole transformation has been completely inspired by your coaching.
I receive all of that. And if I may, I have two follow-ups. So the first would be, well, first, may I?
Yes, of course.
So the first is, I'm so
honored.
Unless
you're telling tales about me and then it's no.
You're going to tell tales about you. I can hold the container. You did the work, right? Like nothing happens.
I feel like
if you
were like, you know, when you go bowling with children and they have bumpers. You feel like yes, maybe I was the ball, but you were the bumper that kept me out of the ditches.
Yeah. Or the illusion of the bumper. Right? Because there's been so many times where you're like, I heard your voice in my head. And I'm like, wasn't talking, you know? So it's just like the illusion of Bunny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's great, because so many people in this world want a different life. They want mm-hmm. transformation. And what they substitute transformation for is change.
Mm, yeah.
And there's a huge difference there. Transformation is so much different than change. Transformation's permanent, can't go back. And change is basically a facade. Mm-hmm. And so many people knock on the door. And then when the door opens, they're like, oh shit. And they turn around. I don't know if I can cuss, but I cussed. They turn around and they run.
Yeah.
And when the invitation came for you to, and you had that, you know, oh shit moment too, when the door opened, but you chose Karen to walk through that door. You chose to do that and do the work. And that's my commitment. My commitment is to hold the container. My commitment is not to do the work for you, because then you become dependent on the coach to get the results. That's why I don't sell a cookie cutter program. That's why I don't sell, you know, here's the course that will change everything. In fact, the most transformational thing that you and I talked through, and the opportunity there with doing Defy, even though we had talked about doing individual coaching, the reason that we ended up deciding on Defy was because of the group.
Right. The community.
And being seen by that.
Uh-huh.
So the second thing, and I'll let this be my last little question for you, is with all of that, with everything that you have been on to yourself about and witnessed yourself with, what is your wisdom around moving this rock with wealth and finances and continuing to move this rock?
Yeah, Bunny. I think what I've learned is that I am choosing to carry the rock because it's still safe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I still get to hide behind the rock, or use it as an excuse or It's the familiar, like, I know this demon. I don't know the demon on the other side, or assume there's a demon on the other side, whatever you want to call it, the monster under the bed. And so I believe when things get scary or when things feel the edge, I revert back to the known of this old beliefs, this limiting beliefs that's keeping me small, because stepping out from that, the energy that that requires feels like that definitive. Because as you said, transformation, you can't go back. And I think there is an edge that I have not crossed over, because something tells me I'm not ready to not go back, which seems so silly and so weird and so ridiculous to say out loud, but there is this pull to stay small, stay safe, even though there's a bigger desire to not. To be impactful requires being, I don't want to say, it feels ego-driven to say be seen and be bigger, but not in an ego-driven way. But Elon Musk can't do the things he's going to do by being shallow and small.
And there's a whole lot of people who despise that man.
I mean, there's just so many people that the bigger you are, the more people will come against you and before you. So those are just
the
measurables.
The biggest transformations in this world, and I'm not going to equate Elon Musk to Jesus, but I just like take an inventory of the biggest transformations documented in history. And was that being focused, was that person, that soul focused on people or on purpose?
Purpose.
So when you focus, and this is
a people are always a part of the purpose, but the purpose is the driver, right?
Right? Like, you put your passion behind your purpose and you're unstoppable. And of course, there's going to be people that makes them uncomfortable.
Sure.
Right? Jesus didn't really care what people thought about him. And I think Eleanor Roosevelt says, like, something around the quotes, like, small minds discuss people. And I think it's, we'll have to look it up. You guys can put it in the comments, but it's like large mind discuss ideas, dreams, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so there's no going back for you. And I know that you know that, but feeling safe to lean into that. And rather than being focused on the people, babe, you have a purpose.
I do feel that. And I love having a community that, when you have a community, which defies really the first coaching community I've had of women who celebrate women with purpose. Even when, like, we celebrate Brittany, even if we're not having a win day and Brittany has a win day, we're all sincerely and immediately, like, celebrating her to have that win. Like, it's from such a healthy, non-competitive way. And I think that's really what I felt about the women in the retreat as well, right? We all had our own goals and our own challenges. And although it started off, you know, like a couple people knew each other, not everybody, by the time we left, it was like we'd all been friends for years and years and just wanted to see each other win. And I've had, you know, conversations with individuals after that as if we have had those relationships, because you go through something transformational like that retreat, that transpires time. Like there, mm-hmm. it's just interesting. So interesting. So for those that are listening to this and they're seeing that this is a different kind of podcast and get to see me on my heels of being coached and called out.
You moving
they're
your
going
rock.
To, they're going to see, oh, this is what coaching with Bunny is like. This is a snippet what coaching with Bunny is like and why my life in the last year has absolutely just turned on its head, flipped over, done somersaults and come back around. Because it has literally been a shedding of so many things that I thought were for me were just not a fit because they were literally those things I was hiding behind, including some social medias. So for you, what is the biggest block, challenge thing other than yourself that you have used to keep yourself safe?
Enoughness.
Tell me more.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Because I'm actually really surprised by that.
You like how quickly that one came out.
Yeah, like that was like automatic, like you know that.
Oh yeah, my two core wounds are, and they're directly related. So it's fear of disappointment, like fear of disappointing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Not just somebody, mainly my dad. And my other big core is enoughness. And I've just found that I have such a heart, which is ironic and not a coincidence. I have a heart that wants to serve. And with the enoughness, I sometimes find it difficult to shut that off and say that's enough. Like you've done enough giving, you can receive. Like it's safe to relax. It's safe to receive. That's enough. And so this past the 10 days that we did in Oahu, I on Monday, you know, was our first real kind of like day off. And I was like, well, let's go do Pearl Harbor because we've done Pearl Harbor, but we haven't done the Arizona Memorial. So we did the Arizona Memorial. And then we got back and I'm like, well, we have time to drive all the way over to the North End to get my dad and my husband, like his favorite, it's called a Panna Olo burger.
Mm-hmm.
So we drove 2 hours to get this burger and now we're there, now we're back. And then that night, I was laying in bed being like, what did you do for yourself today? Like, this is your birthday trip, right?
Yeah.
So then on Tuesday, I went to the spa. And I went to the spa with my mom, right? Because I wanted to make sure that she was having fun too.
She got.
So then, you know, we could go on. But like Wednesday, I ended up spending 5 or 6 hours just sitting on the beach, reading a book in my chair, drinking like my ginger beer because I don't drink. And I turned with just this huge smile to Steve, my husband, and was just like, this is everything to me. Like, this is what I wanted. This is what my soul wanted to do all week. And Steve's like, I'm happy for you. And as soon as he said it, I knew because he has ADD. And so, like, it drives him insane to sit and do nothing.
To sit still.
Mm-hmm. And I watched my brain be like, ooh. And then I'm like, this is too good. And so he said, I think we should get the baby out of the sun. I think we should go back to the hotel. I said, why don't you take the kids back to the hotel? This was an edge for me. Why don't you take the kids back to the hotel? And I would love it if you would come out and watch the sunset with me. And he did. And that was the greatest gift. It was just such a good gift. In comparison.
So you stayed there.
I stayed there.
And just enjoyed. Wow.
And I read my book. And then on Thursday, I chartered a boat to do swimming with dolphins, which we swam with whales and dolphins and turtles. And it was amazing. We did lunch. And then I chartered a helicopter to surprise my dad and my husband. And I had a session today with my coach and I was sharing this with her on the enoughness because it's like, it's been such a big part of my life to just serve everybody And yet the past really 5 years, Karen, I've slowed down my life so much to make so much more time. And I'm at a stage in my life where I've never had more time, more money, and more energy. And so to really allow this right now, this present moment, for no other reason than it's this present moment, to be enough and to feel so deeply in my bones that this is enough, to feel it in my soul that this is enough, and not feel like I have to do something in 2 minutes in order to deserve this moment, or I've had to do something 2 minutes ago in order to deserve this moment, and just have this be enough and not stay awake until 10 p.m. at night. And I mean, this isn't stuff that I'm doing all the time. And I also feel like sometimes I have done more in my brain in the 45 minutes that I wake up in the morning, which is why I have such an incredible morning routine now. And I don't touch my phone until typically after 10 a.m. And what I found is that sometimes like I'm exhausted 45 minutes after getting up because I've done more in my brain to save the world than most people do all day. And so that enoughness is, it's not a question of whether I'm enough. It's not a question of confidence and not a question of abundance. It's this war within myself of service versus receiving. And so I am.
So is it the thought that I feel like I'm enough, but will it be enough for them? Will it be enough to make a difference? Will it be?
I think this started when I got diagnosed with my heart condition, where I feel like there's this imaginary scoreboard or race against some imaginary timeline to make sure that I've given enough before I succumb to my heart condition. And I think it gets exacerbated, ironically. It's slowed down and it gets sped up as well. So it slowed down a lot in 5 years. And that's what I was discussing with my coach, is like, I will be doing even less, even though I'm going to have 4 clients, I will be doing even less. Like, we have a coach coming in to do a guest coaching on Thursday with Defy. Mm-hmm. And that's working with my edge of not coaching every single week and letting it be enough that I created all the content, that I created the container, and that I do show up and I coach. I coach on the platform and I coach, right. You know, and so allowing that to be enough is me meeting my edges and allowing it to be enough to know that I still want to do less. Like, the next year is going to look, I've already declared that the next year of my life is going to be my best year yet. And it's not because I'm going to do the most amount of things. I'm actually going to do the least amount of things. But I'm going to take my healing, my awareness, my energy to a whole new level around some certain things. And those that are working with me in the next year are going to get a first row seat to all of this transformation. And so that has been the rock, has been the enoughness. And so what I was sharing with my coach is like, to say I'm working 5 to 10 hours a week and I'm going to be doing less, it sounds to society like, who are you to say that? And I don't really care. I don't question that. However, it's been counterintuitive to me to see that I'm working the least amount of hours that I ever have in my life. And yet I feel like I'm making the most amount of impact. And that's enough.
I mean, being in your world, I can attest to this, that the things that you do are very intentional, calculated, and purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
They're not random. I'm just showing up to say, hey, what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
It's never that. I mean, yeah. It may start with, what is it that you need? And then there's always an intention behind it if the needs don't take us in a different direction.
Yeah.
So I can see that and really like visualize it and conceptualize it and digest all of that because I'm living that experience.
Well, I receive that and I appreciate that feedback, because what I'm working with right now is the fact that, like, I'm the concentrate. You remember orange concentrate, like orange juice concentrate, right?
Yeah, the frozen stuff that you would mix. And
that's my intention.
I actually thought about that the other day because my son always runs out of juice, and I'm like, how do I keep up with this? Where's the frozen juice we used to have? Like,
yeah,
it was concentrate. You'd just add water and defrost it in the sink. And
yeah. So my thought process is that no matter how long I am physically on this earth, my desire is to create concentrate so that others can create as much juice as they want from that. And it's not diluted, right? Like, and then you get to create your own concentrate. And so, like, you know, my starfish logo and the aspect that my goal was to make an impact for one person and then allow them to go make an impact for the next person. And so that's the visual. That's the visual that I'm holding and that I'm keeping for myself in this enoughness, is that whatever time that I have left with my family, with my companies, with my clients, with myself is enough. It's enough to do all of the impact that I have placed on my heart. And that's what really drives me in doing everything that I'm doing, and that drove me to, like, book the helicopter and the boat and all of this, is this deep desire to make the world a better place and to do it in my unique way. And the thought process of leaving that island another time, because I've done it three times. I've had the blessing of going to Hawaii three times, and not having that experience with my husband and my dad. They're both Army. And so we flew the exact path that the Japanese airplanes flew into Pearl Harbor, and just seeing that reaction from my dad and my husband. Like, that's the gift to me, Karen, like more than any jewelry. I don't really love jewelry, but like more than any jewelry, more than any flowers, more than any spa day, it is seeing the impact that I am able to hold and that others are able to have because we've shared some time and some energy and some space in this crazy timeline on this floating rock.
I don't know that I've ever met a more intentional person. I feel like as flexible and as intuitive as you are also the most calculated, intentional person I've ever had the opportunity to really see, fully see behind curtains. Because everything you did at the retreat was very calculated. Everything you do with your business is very calculated. And when I say calculated, it's just like, it's purposeful. There's not randomness to it. I'm a very random, shoot from the hip kind of free spirit, I feel like, in some ways. So much thought and care and love and intention behind everything. It's such a gift. And it truly is such a gift. So when you're talking about the things that you do for your dad and all of that, like, I can see that because I saw it with the event. Like, the bags were very intentional. Like, the colors were intentional. The meal was intentional. The planet little thing that we did with the planets was intentional. Like, every single thing, there was so much calculated thought and care and concern behind the tiniest details. That is a skill and a gift that most people do not possess. So,
and just so you know, like, every single night, I'm like, is that enough? Just so you know, I have the behind the scenes, you know, and I think that So I just want to be real for a second that every person that you see that is pulling all of that off, I think the shadow side of that is that they go to bed, they wake up the next day, and they wonder how they're going to make it that amazing the next day. And
do you feel like there's a weight and a burden on you to make it as good or better each
so
day?
Much, not so much anymore, but it was a huge shadow.
Yeah.
It was a huge shadow to be like, how am I going to outdo myself next time? And I think now I really know that I am the best version of myself with simple and less. And so this is a little secret for you. If you came out and hung out at my house and we sat by the pool for 2 days, that'd be more transformation than if I taught for 2 days straight. Because the less that I try, the more me I am. The less that I try to be myself, the more me that I am. And so I don't necessarily play the game of competing against myself. I am confident that as long as I improve 1% every single day, and this is what we do in Defy, right? This is what we're measuring in our accountability is 1%.
Right.
So as long as I move the needle 1% in my life from today to tomorrow, yesterday to today, that's 365% improvement. And I would buy up any business that has 365% growth year over year.
Sounds so simple, yet when you sit there looking at 365% at the end of the year, granted, it's 1% at a time. How do you do that? Like, how does that, I mean, I feel like that's a whole nother podcast because we're already at over time, but
you focus on the 1%. I just did, I just did our report today and we're at 761% growth from last year to this year.
Which business?
In a Better Place.
Okay.
So I pulled the reports on that. So just In a Better Place, we're at 761% year over year growth. That's insane.
That isn't totally insane.
Right? And so, actually, that may be aggregated with all of the companies, but I think it's just A Better Place. I can pull again and look. Because in QuickBooks,
if it's aggregated, that's even more impressive. Because you have one that's a complete startup.
Yes, and, right? But I'm just looking at the growth numbers. So I'm just looking at the percentages of profit year over year. And, you know, we haven't yet done the bonuses that we typically do in Q4 and all of this kind of stuff, where there's some referrals, referral income that we haven't paid out, all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm not going to take away from the 761%, because that's a powerful, powerful number. And I didn't focus on 761%. Next year, I won't focus on 761%. What will I focus on?
1%.
And that's the cool thing about having a business and a team and a company and a family is because, Karen, if I focus on 1% and you're on my team and you focus on 1% and we have 8 people on our team right now, that's 8%. 365. What's 8 times 365? That's more than 761%.
Yeah.
So dang, someone's slacking. Someone's slacking. Someone's slacking. Because we're supposed to be at 8% times 365. We're going to have a team meeting. But like, you see?
Yeah.
That's the incredible thing. And I have tried, I have attempted to sell A Better Place Consulting that turned 10 this month, twice in my 10 years of being the founder and owner. And I typically have about a 2-year burn rate before I just get tired of something and will sell a company or shut it down or acquire it with another company. And the reason that I've had this company for 10 years is because of my team. And every time that I have gotten to the place where we're about ready to sell it, the reason I haven't sold it is because of my team. And I think that whether or not you're listening to this and you work for yourself or you have a JOB or somewhere in between, building the support system around you of people that are willing to also focus on the 1% per day is a game changer. And that's transformational. 761% is transformational. Yeah. There's no going back.
And you couldn't have done that just you.
I didn't do it just me.
Yeah.
I did not do it just me. In fact, that's with me not running the company. You know, I'm not the CEO in traditional terms.
Mm-hmm.
with my brain injury and my heart conditions, I'm focused on Defy. And yeah, Defy has grown from last year to this year in the, not only the amount of people, but it's from 6 months to 12 months. So that income has grown because now it's a $12,000 program where it was a $6,000 program. And, you know, that's what I'm focused on is Defy. And it's kind of funny in the grand scheme of things because we do have corporate partnerships. And so my line item, my growth for Defy and my entrepreneurship focus in comparison to the big A Better Place is hilarious. And it's so impactful. And doing this podcast has been more meaningful for me than doing a podcast on, you know, some giant leadership show. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for this conversation, for being vulnerable, and again, just pouring out from such a full heart. I just love and adore you and appreciate you so much, and can't imagine a world without a bunny in it.
Mm.
So you take care of you.
I will. I promise.
Okay. I can't believe Guinness hasn't popped in.
He's just sleeping right there. That's all he's doing. He's just chilling. So... Yeah.
Okay. Well, I really thought he'd make a celebrity appearance, but he didn't.
No. Guinness, the service dog, is tired because I made him walk 11,000 steps. Well, actually 22,000 steps for him at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah, because he's got an extra set.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, we will wrap this up with a final thank you. And I just, again, am so appreciative of you. And I know that this will be valuable for those that get to hear it. And even if it's one person that wants to connect with you, what is the very best way for them to find you, to connect with you, learn more about you? I know you're really active on Instagram.
Yeah, so Instagram, send me a voice note, send me a message on Instagram. It's at TheBunnyYoung. I'm sure all of the notes will be there. And for those of you that are interested in stepping into Defy Container and kind of exploring that, you can go to betterplaceconsulting.com/Defy now, DefyNow. I promise I'm a real person, so you can always just connect with me.
So I have a Better Place Consulting. I didn't add the Defy, but we can add that in for the show notes. But
yeah,
this is what she's talking about.
Yeah. So that's it. That is the website. That's all the things. And like I said, I promise I'm a real person. So you can just connect with me.
She is beyond real. I don't think you're real. I think you're fairy dust and unicorn.
I do my best.
Of the best real kind. But okay. I love you. I appreciate you. We will wrap this up because I could go on talking to you forever awesome. Because you're the most amazing and people need you in their world. Only to the point that I still get you too. So.
Yes, and.
I will share. Yes, yeah. And. All right.
Thank you.
I love you. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us today on The Rock Movers. Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did, and I hope that you got something super valuable. So just for being here, I want to gift you free access to my Reclaim Your Confidence course. It's a mini course, short 5 modules. It's impactful, yet it's not super heavy. So use VIP2024 as a code to get free access to this course just for showing up and listening to this entire episode. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to The Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world. And I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there. And I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.